Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to another episode of the Giant Take Podcast. I am Josh and I am joined by my friend and co-host Alex. We are here for episode 184 to discuss a lot regarding the New York Giants 53-man roster. We have the cuts, we have the initial roster, we now have the current roster. The Giants made some waiver claims, the Giants set their practice squad numbers up. And we have it all for you here on an early Thursday morning. Both tired, but we're here and ready to get you the coverage. Yesterday, kind of, or the past, few days, really following this news, very intently, is that the right word? We were very focused on who, you know, refreshing Twitter, I would say. I think Bobby Skinner of Talking Giants had a tweet like, this is where my screen time really adds up throughout the entire year is cut days, because you're refreshing Twitter basically every 2 minutes to see who gets cut, who gets signed, and who is going where in the NFL world. So without further ado, Alex, how are you? And you ready to get into this today?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm ready to get into it. Lots of stuff happening over the past 48 hours or so. You know, it's kind of slowed down now, but not really even, right? Russell Wilson, as we speak, just signed a $250 million contract a few minutes ago. So, certainly a lot going on all around the NFL, but, it seems to have quieted down a bit in terms of all these crazy roster moves, players moving from place to place, etc. I think we'll still see some more moves, cause there is one particular spot on this roster that's still extremely weak. And definitely a couple more that could use more help. So I think we'll see a couple more moves possibly before the start of the season, but certainly excited to see how this team does. And we've got the bulk of our group now to see, take them into the season and see how they do. So I'm excited to, go over that, talk about some of these players and what they can do for this football team.
And just before we do that, we have some fun stuff here to start the episode out, and then we'll ease into the news. That being, let's take a look back on our last episode and what we talked about. We had a one shock cut and one shock that makes the team. Alex and I both did that. And we also calculated, according to what we had as our final 2022 53-man roster predictions compared to the initial roster, and who we got right, who we got wrong, and how much we got out of 53 correct. So we're definitely going to go through that. And that was fun to kind of take a look at. So the one shock cut and one shock that made the team. Alex, you said Quincy Roche was the shock cut. Darren Evans was the shock that makes the team. So basically one out of two there. Evans not making the team, but did make the practice squad. So partial credit on that one. And then I had the same thing with Quincy Roche as the shock cut. And Austin Kelechro was the shock that makes the team. So I went 2 for 2 there, as Kelechro did in fact make the team. He actually had a little clapback on Twitter to an article that was written saying because of his final preseason game against the Jets, or I think like preseason games, was the reason he made the roster. And I said in the last episode, funny enough, that if he makes the roster, it kind of shows how much the Giants value preseason games. Kelechro retweeted that article, actually. So good thing I didn't tweet anything out like that. He retweeted that article and basically said, this article is BS and I don't like it at all. It's completely false. I was like, whoa, good thing I did not say anything about him performing in preseason games, because you did not take that well with that article. But so Alex 1 for 2 there. I went 2 for 2 on the shock cut and shock that makes the team. Now on to our final 2022 53-man roster predictions. We were, drumroll please, 46 out of 53. Correct. Pretty good for us. Alex, I know you've informed me when we were kind of preparing for this that the North Jersey writer Art Stapleton got 49 out of 53 right, and that is his job as a beat reporter covering the New York Giants. So I credit ourselves, and we should definitely go professional with this if we're not already. And yeah, I'm proud of that. I think 46 out of 53, pretty good for us. And no one really expected Davis Webb. So, like, I don't know. I feel like I did not see any predictions having only two quarterbacks.
Yeah, certainly. I think we did pretty well for ourselves. The main ones we, or the only ones we like missed, that players that we had making it that didn't end up make it, that we had Davis Webb, Austin Allen, who's on the practice squad, as well as Davis Webb. Actually, I believe all these guys are on the practice squad, funny enough. So Davis Webb, Austin Allen, Jalen Holmes, obviously Nick Williams got the better of him. Quincy Roche, he was kind of a shock, I guess. Zion Gilbert and Trenton Thompson. Trenton Thompson also kind of a shock. Everyone kind of had him making the roster as we edge closer to cutdown day. But certainly, we missed a few, but I think we got most of them right. So that's definitely a positive thing. Going through the initial 53-man roster that was, you know, first released before all these waiver moves and other stuff that happened, which we'll talk about later, and we'll get to like the current, as we speak, 53-man roster a little bit later. But on offense in the initial one, QBs were Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor, so only two quarterbacks. Running back, Saquon Barkley, Matt Breida, Gary Brightwell, and Antonio Williams. Tight end, Daniel Bellinger, Tanner Hudson, and Chris Myrak. Offensive line, Ben Bredesen, Josh Azudu, John Feliciano, Max Garcia, Mark Lewinsky, Devery Hamilton, Shane Lemieux, Evan Neal, Andrew Thomas, and wide receiver, Kenny Golladay, Richie James, Wandell Robinson, Sterling Shepard, David Sills, Darius Slayton, Kadarius Toney. Out of those guys, the ones that people were kind of not sure about, I think Tanner Hudson was kind of a surprise to people that he made the roster. I think, obviously, Jashawn Corbin didn't make it. Antonio Williams and Gary Brightwell beating him out. Ben Bredesen making the roster was a bit surprising. Devery Hamilton did make it, which wasn't surprising to me, but might have surprised some others. David Sills finally gets his chance on the 53-man roster, which is pretty cool. And Darius Slayton obviously makes it. So that, I guess, puts to bed those rumors. Josh, you want to get to the defense?
Yeah, sure. Just before I do that, kind of clearing up what we talked about earlier with the predictions, the only guy that is not on there besides all the other ones, Jalen Holmes, is currently a free agent, did not sign with the Giants practice squad or get claimed by any other teams or is on any other team's practice squad. So Holmes, the free agent, besides that, all the other ones we missed on are on the Giants practice squad. So going on to the defense now, like you asked me to do originally, defensive line, TJ Davidson, Justin Ellis, Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams, and Nick Williams. We'll get to that in a little bit. Defensive backs, Dane Belton, Cordell Flott, Darnay Holmes, Rory Jackson, Julian Love, Xavier McKinney, Aaron Robinson, and Rodarius Williams. Interior linebackers, Cam Brown, Austin Colicchio, Carter Coughlin, Tay Crowder, Blake Martinez, Micah McFadden. Outside linebackers, Tomon Fox, Azeez Ojulari, Ellerson Smith, Kayvon Thibodeau, Jahad Ward, and O'Shane Zimenez. And the special teamers, Graham Gano, Jamie Gillen, Casey Kreider. On defense, the surprises sort of being Nick Williams being on there. Tomon Fox getting his chance to shine.
Give me my moment here. I'm so happy for Tomon Fox. I told people all along he was like my favorite of the undrafted guys. I said he had great production in college. I think he's going to do well in the NFL. I think he's going to possibly make the roster. Had that huge hit in preseason to end the game against, who was it, the Bengals, I believe. Then, you know, his parents and family going crazy in the stands when that happened. It's just everyone was rooting for him. So happy that he made the roster. I was a little worried that he might get cut during the waiver situation when people are getting picked up on waivers, etc. But spoiler alert, he's still there. So I'm very, very happy about that and can't wait to see what he does in the NFL. Kind of like a sleeper I'm just rooting for, and definitely will keep an eye on him throughout his career, whether he's with the Giants or with other teams. Really happy about that.
Yeah, and then some other on the defense, I guess, surprises. Ellerson Smith being on the roster and not having him on IR. So that means the injury shouldn't be as bad as we think. We also...
Well, he is on IR now.
Well, at the time, he wasn't... Spoiling, Alex. Unbelievable. I was trying to have some foreshadowing. Okay. Anyway, what else? Austin Kalitro making the roster. We talked about that earlier, though. Besides, oh, I guess Cam Brown. A lot of people didn't have Cam Brown. We didn't have Cam
Brown. Carter Coughlin, for sure.
Carter Coughlin, definitely.
Carter Coughlin, yeah.
Yeah, both of them. Cam Brown, Carter Coughlin, definitely surprises there.
Rodarius Williams.
Yep.
Making the roster was a bit surprising.
Right. And is that everything? Isn't Williams on IR? No. Is he all?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is, but I was trying to foreshadow. You told me to do that.
I have to spoil yours now. Come on now.
Yeah, all right. I don't think that's the right use of that word, by the way. But yeah, whatever, we're going to roll with it.
We both knew what we're talking about. Hopefully you listening understand.
Hopefully everyone else did. All right. Don't worry about it.
Going on now to the practice squad players. 16 players, I believe, is like the NFL level limit for the amount of players the Giants can sign. They were at 15. Now they're over the limit. So at the point of recording this morning, I believe they have to cut one, if not two, players from the practice squad to make room for a couple guys. So and after all of this movement when it comes to the 53-man roster and cutdowns, only one out of the 16 currently are new players that were not on the Giants 90-man roster during the preseason. So that's something interesting. Going down the list, Alex, again, I guess we could split offense, defense. QB Davis Webb, offensive linemen include Will Holden, Garrett McGinn, Roy Matika, and Max Garcia. That's one to note because Max Garcia was on the 53-man roster, right? And then got cut. And then got re-signed again. But he's going to have to... Someone's going to have to make room, I think. Someone's going to have to get cut in order for Garcia to officially get on that practice squad list. Running back to Sean Corbin. The Giants hold on to him. There were rumors after he got cut that if Corbin gets cut, I don't think he'll survive waivers. Well, he did. The Giants were able to keep him. Obviously, if any team really wants him, though, they can just scoop him up for their roster. But for right now, he's there. Wide receiver Jalen Moore, wide receiver CJ Board also clears waivers. So that's an interesting one too. Tight end Austin Allen, and Alex, you take the defense.
Yeah, I want to talk quickly about the offense because, you know, I don't want to feel left out. In terms of players that I'm really happy that we're able to stick around, Max Garcia, being able to have a player of his quality on your practice squad, same thing with CJ Board, same thing with Deshaun Corbin. I'm really happy with our offensive depth here on the practice squad. Austin Allen at tight end's not bad either. So, you know, pretty excited about that. But moving to the defense like you wanted me to. Defensive lineman Ryder Anderson, talking Giants favorite. He is on the practice squad. Again, really nice depth there on the defensive line. I remember last year David Moa was on the practice squad and he got called up a ton. So defensive line, I think, is definitely a position where it's important to have depth on the practice squad. And we do have that with Ryder Anderson. Quincy Roche, I think this is the biggest shock, most happy about this, somehow did not get picked up on waivers and somehow decided to stay with the Giants. And he's on our practice squad. So really happy about that. Had 2.5 sacks last season, a ton of tackles, a whole bunch of important plays. So really excited to keep him around. Cornerback, we got Zion Gilbert. A lot of people had him making the roster, but he sticks on the practice squad along with Darren Evans, who was kind of like my shock to make the roster. Didn't think he was too bad in preseason, to be honest. Harrison Hand, also another cornerback, will be sticking around on the practice squad. And then Trenton Thompson, safety, will be sticking around. A lot of people had him making the roster, and Nate Meadors, the lead tackler for the Giants in preseason, in case anyone was interested in that. And then, like you mentioned before, Tony Jefferson and Max Garcia will be replacing two of the current players. We touched on Max Garcia, but Tony Jefferson, the 30-year-old NFL veteran, former Baltimore Raven, has that connection with Wink Martindale, played 9 seasons in 104 career games, 76 of those being starts. He's recorded 469 tackles, 34 TFLs, 20 QB hits, 9.5 sacks, 8 forced fumbles, 23 passes defended, and 4 interceptions with a pick 6. So certainly a very nice established resume, and I think he could be one of those situations where he does get bumped up and made a permanent member of the 53-man roster as we get closer into it. as we get close to the season, or, you know, a couple weeks into the season would be my guess. But I mean, overall, this practice squad, it's a really, really strong group. I'm excited about it. I think there could be a couple more additions possibly. You know, you never know, right? People pick up. When you're on the practice squad, any team can sign you to their 53-man roster. So that's the fun part about it, I guess. So not all of these guys will be here the whole season, but certainly excited to have good depth.
And Alex, I think the big thing, well, first of all, I agree with you about Jefferson. I think he's getting elevated. It's just a matter of when. What's cool, though, is that with these new coaches, they have new connections, one of them being Tony Jefferson here. Baltimore wanted him back, and he decided to instead not stay with Baltimore and just go to the Giants to join their practice squad. That's a big deal, especially for an NFL veteran. Like you said, a 30-year-old NFL veteran who's played 9 seasons is like, yeah, I want to reunite with my guy, Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator of the Giants, and I'll even join the practice squad to do that. I think that's a big deal. And obviously, he's going to go up eventually. It's just a matter of when. When it comes to the safeties room, it's going to be interesting, though. How is that going to work? I assume also this is a big key position because we don't know the exact injury with Dane Belton and how he's recovering and how long the process is for recovering. So I think the point here is Tony Jefferson could definitely be that replacement for the first at least couple weeks if the injury is still lingering, the collarbone injury is still lingering for Dane Belton. I feel like Jefferson would step up and kind of replace his role as the third-ish safety, right? I would assume he's behind guys like Xavier McKinney and Julian Love.
Well, also, I think when you're looking at Tony Jefferson, too, he brings a different dynamic to the safety room, because while Xavier McKinney is more of a deep liar type of guy, more of a single high almost type of guy, Julian Love, almost the same. Julian Love, to be honest, more of a slot guy, slot corner guy than anything. Tony Jefferson is your classic in-the-box safety. So I think he definitely brings a nice dynamic to the safety room, similar to Dane Belton, actually, in terms of their skill set. But I think he could be a good mentor for Belton and just a good leader overall for the defense. So excited to see what he can do for the Giants on the practice squad and hopefully being elevated to the 53-man roster and making an impact.
All right. And now talking about the New York Giants waiver claims, because they made 4 of those. We knew kind of going into the waiver wire because they had a high priority that they were going to address that. I don't know how many like really great players are on the waiver wire, but no standout names. I don't know why there would be, but they did sign 4 guys, a guard, offensive guard, Jack Anderson, cornerback, Justin Lane, cornerback, Nick McLeod, and safety, Jason Pinnock.
Pinnock. Yeah.
I don't know if the O is like silent or not though, because that's like an I, Pinnock. Mm. Anyway,
who knows?
The Giants address, the 2 probably weakest positions that we talked about depth wise, Alex, last episode being offensive line or cornerback. I don't even know if it's last episode. We talked about it a lot, that the 2 weakest positions for the Giants, cornerback and offensive line, when it comes to depth. So they addressed those there. And they had 3 unsuccessful waiver claims that you added in here. I didn't even see this. Kingsley Jonathan, who is a former Bill, defensive end Daryl Johnson, who is also a Bill, and running back Jermichael Hasty, who was on the 49ers. You see a little pattern there? A little bit of Bill's pattern?
A little bit.
Wonder why that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, so the Giants, if you look at it, made 7 waiver claims. They got 4 of them, but they made 7 waiver claims. Jermichael Hasty, I know, ended up with the Jaguars. We're not sure where Daryl Johnson and Kingsley Jonathan ended up, but Jermichael Hasty ends up with the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence. But obviously, they have the number one order claim, I guess, right? They're number one in the claim order. But certainly some really nice pieces that were brought in, I think, you know, not earth-shattering, but certainly some nice pieces. But I think you got to notice something. You mentioned 2 of the weak positions. But I think besides corner, the second weakest position is tight end, and the Giants didn't address it one bit in waivers. They didn't even attempt to sign someone in waivers at tight end. So really interesting to see what they do at that position. I can't imagine they're done with that position in terms of adding more depth and quality to that group. We'll have to see, but certainly an interesting thing there. Let's get into the 4 guys who did end up joining the Giants. So first, let's talk about guard Jack Anderson. He was cut by the Eagles on Tuesday. He's only 23 years old. He has the flexibility to play all three guard spots, all three interior spots, excuse me. So that's definitely something that Brian Daboll in his press conference actually even mentioned about why he liked Anderson. So certainly something to think about. But he was selected by the Bills. Does anyone notice that? No, the Bills again. You know, little funny coincidence there. In the 2021 NFL draft at 236th overall and spent a month on the practice squad before signing with the Eagles. He saw action in two games last season, starting the season finale against the Cowboys. Here's something interesting. He was drafted by Joe Shane when he was assistant GM in Buffalo. And then he was then picked up by the Eagles, whose assistant GM was, or director of player personnel, whatever he was. Oh my God, what's his name? From the Eagles. I just blanked.
Who are you thinking of?
The assistant GM, Brandon Brown.
Oh, okay.
He was then selected by Brandon Brown, brought into the Eagles. So both the GM and assistant GM of the Giants currently had a part in bringing him through as he started his career in the NFL. So certainly something to think about there. And I think he's going to be a really good addition as depth for this offensive line.
Sorry, Alex, when you brought up the tight end, the Giants addressing the tight end, it put me on a little loop here. And I was like, you know, I was now searching the web for that. Sorry, I wasn't able to help out. Eric Ebron, the Giants gave him a tryout a couple months ago now. He's still available. The top guy, it seems like, on list when it comes to tight ends available. So just a little name to throw out there again. We'll have to see if they address the position like you mentioned. The next guy on the list here, cornerback Justin Lane, was cut by the Steelers, 24 years old, in 3 years with Pittsburgh. Lane never started a game, but he did appear in 43 games, did not get a single defensive snap in his rookie season with 93 plays on special teams in 10 games, so a special teamer. 2020 saw the most usage out of Lane with 117 snaps on defense, 261 on special teams, and then in 2021, only saw 28 defensive snaps along with 245 on special teams. So basically in all, Lane had one fumble recovery, 41 combined tackles, no pass defended in 3 seasons with Pittsburgh. He was credited with giving up one touchdown in 2020. And then I could just do one. Are we flip-flopping every time?
We're flip-flopping, man. Another DB here, Nick McLeod, was cut by the Bills. Again, the Bills. He's only 24 years old, so he's certainly starting his career, still young and developing. He can play corner or safety. He's 6 foot, 193 pounds, went undrafted out of Notre Dame. Notre Dame, obviously, a highly thought of school in terms of college prospects, before signing with the Bills in 2021. A special mix of size and speed. He ran a 4.37 40-yard dash during his pro day, so relatively quick for a guy his size. After he failed to make the active roster last season, the Cincinnati Bengals signed him to their active roster. So McLeod, certainly a promising player. We'll see how he does, and definitely some nice depth there. Again, in addition to Lane at the cornerback position.
Yeah, when I was doing a little bit of research on the 24-year-old defensive back, McLeod actually stands out more in the safety position. I was reading that that's kind of where he shines, but he's only been used really in cornerback when it comes to the NFL. In college, it seemed like he was more of a safety, so we'll have to see if the Giants use that. Although this Jefferson signing, I don't think so. But if they do use him, I would think it's at cornerback because that's just where the lack of depth is for the Giants. Although maybe he shines at safety here and there. We'll have to see throughout the season. Another safety they signed, Jason Pinnock. I'm saying Pinnock. I don't know if it's right. He was cut by the Jets, 23 years old, selected by the Jets in the 5th round of last year's draft. Then he was signed by the Jets, was then waived by the Jets this offseason. So basically had 1 season with them after the preseason roster cuts. As a rookie, played 12 games with 2 starts, registered 13 tackles, 8 of them being solo tackles. He had 1 pass defended and 1 forced fumble. This preseason, Pinnock had 2 solo tackles, and including 1 against the Giants this past Sunday. So don't really remember him on the field. I went to the game, don't really remember seeing him, but now I will pay attention a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly is the most promising of the, or at least the, I guess, biggest name in terms of what he's done in the NFL out of all of the players we picked up here out of these four. So certainly excited to see what he can do on the field. This guy definitely hasn't officially signed yet, but he could possibly sign. He wouldn't be an official waiver claim, but he could be another addition. Former Lions wide receiver and Hard Knocks star, in case anyone watches the show. Khalil Pimpleton, I believe it is juggling teams. He's on his way to visit the Giants. The 23-year-old, this was yesterday, by the way. So the 23-year-old Pimpleton, he played his college ball at Central Michigan after transferring from Virginia, caught the eye of many for his juggling ability and arguably oversized pads. However, his play on the field wasn't quite as consistent as his juggling, which led to the Lions releasing him as a part of their final cuts. In three preseason games, Pimpleton hauled in 9 receptions for 69 yards and 4 first downs and had 1 kick return for 30 yards, but he also made at least 1 glaring drop. That's from Giants Wire there. He definitely is more going to be a special teamer in terms of what he can do in the kicking game as a return man, so I think that brings added value. We do have 7 wide receivers already. We'll see what happens. He had his visit yesterday, and we'll see if Joe Shane and company really liked him and want to add him on to the roster.
We are moving right along here. The current 53-man roster now, we have it all laid out for you listening. So let's go into it. Quarterback, Daniel Jones, Tyrod Taylor, the two of them. No Davis Webb, he's on the practice squad. Running backs, there's 4. Saquon Barkley, Matt Breida, Antonio Williams, Gary Brightwell. Remember, Sandro Platzkummer, he is still there sort of in the background because of the international player pathway program, something like that. The IPP is what it's shortened to now. Is it international player program or international player pathway? I think
it's player pathway.
Yeah, it's one of those. All right, wide receivers: Kenny Galladay, Sterling Shepard, Kadarius Toney, Wandell Robinson, Darius Slayton, Richie James, David Sills. Predicted to perfection by us in the final predictions we had before the roster got announced. 3 tight ends: Daniel Bellinger, Chris Myrak, and Tanner Hudson. Although, just note that Chris Myrak on the initial Giants roster that the New York Giants posted on social media was listed as a fullback. So when the Giants do a fullback set, like plays-wise, it looks like Myrak will line up as the fullback there. Offensive linemen: Andrew Thomas, Evan Neal, Mark Lewinsky, John Feliciano, Josh Azudu, Devery Hamilton, Ben Bredesen, and Jack Anderson. Alex, take the defense away.
I get the defense this time. It's exciting.
Wait, why did
Dexter
I say,
Lawrence?
I should take the defense away. Take it away with the defense. Sorry.
Take it away with the defense. On the defensive line, Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams, Justin Ellis, DJ Davidson, and Nick Williams. So both Williams make the roster. Linebacker, edge rushers first, we got 5 of them: Kayvon Thibodeau, Azeez Ojulari, Jahad Ward, O'Shane Ximines, and Tomon Fox. Interior guys, we got 6: Blake Martinez, Tay Crowder, Micah McFadden, Austin Calitro, Carter Coughlin, Cam Brown. Defensive backs, we got 6 corners: Adoree Jackson, Aaron Robinson, Cordell Flott, Darnay Holmes, Justin Lane, and Nick McLeod. Safeties, we got 4 of them: Xavier McKinney, Julian Love, Dane Belton, and Jason Pinnock. And then special teams, you got Graham Gano, Casey Kreider, and Jamie Gillen. There was some roster juggling, some players moving on to IR, some players getting cut temporarily till the IR moves were made official. But the 3 players that are on IR are Shane Lemieux, Ellerson Smith, and Radarius Williams, along with players like Matt Parrott, who were on the PUP list, and Nick Gates to begin with. So those guys are added on, but on the IR now. So Shane Lemieux, Ellerson Smith, and Radarius Williams. And that is your current Giants 53-man roster. By the time this episode is out, it could change again. Who knows? But this is what it is at, 9:30 in the morning on Thursday, September 1st. So certainly a good-looking group. Definitely a lot of gaping holes, don't get me wrong. Tight end especially, and definitely cornerback as well. So certainly more room to improve. Not a lot of cap space to do it, but certainly excited going into the season.
Well, as we record now, even the practice squad is changing. And Alex, we had those moves official for you here, breaking news to us on the podcast, at least to you, not so much. So we have 4 releases and 4 additions to the practice squad. I'll start with the releases. Alex, your guy, actually, you're shocked to make the team that didn't make the team, made the practice squad, got cut. We'll start out with defensive back Darren Evans. Got released from the practice squad. Offensive tackle, Roy Empatika. offensive tackle Garrett McGinn, which is interesting because I feel like he played well and frequently with the second team during preseason, right? So that's interesting. And Nate Meters, defensive back for the New York Giants, or former defensive back for the New York Giants. Four of those guys got cut. Giants made some signings on the practice squad, one of them being offensive lineman Wyatt Davis, defensive end Harry Mondo. It's M-O. It's
just go.
It's one of those. It's like Kayvon Thibodeau, where it's M-O-N-D-E-A-U-X. So I'm just going to Mondo. Defensive back Tony Jefferson, which we knew they were going to have to make room for him, and linebacker Charles Wiley. Those guys, we don't have much info on them. I'm just scrolling through Twitter as of now, and that's what I'm seeing. Obviously, we know about Tony Jefferson already. I want to say I've heard the name Charles Wiley before. And
Wyatt Davis is a former guard out of Ohio State. I forget what team he was with now, but I remember he was picked in maybe the fourth or fifth round like a year ago, I want to say. I remember him. So there you go. So another guard depth there for the Giants. With him, with Davis,
second
and then
round
you
pick maybe
he was second, really? Wyatt Davis,
maybe. That's just, I'm just.
Oh, I thought you like actually knew.
Sorry, no. I'm looking at what Twitter says, and I don't know how many people.
Yeah, well, I think in general, Darren Evans. I think it was kind of coming that he wasn't going to make the roster. So unfortunate there. I guess was kind of rooting for him. I don't know. You know, sometimes when you predict something, you just kind of got to follow it up by rooting for them and pretending like you're their biggest fan. And I think that's kind of what happened there. But good luck to him. I do got to say, like, I've seen a lot of people overall when people have been cut, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, these people have families, man. Like, you know, it's tough, you know, not, you know, these guys who are on the practice squad are making, you know, what, 10,000. You know, a week, and that's only for what, you know, the 8 weeks they're on the field. So like, it's, you know, it's kind of like a normal, you know, lifestyle in terms of what they live. They have a whole bunch of, you know, family members that they have to pay for, support, etc. And, you know, if you're unemployed in the NFL, it's the same as being unemployed in real life. You're still not making any money. So certainly, you know, it's a tough road for these people. So don't be mean. I've seen a lot of people be mean. Don't be mean. Life lesson from me.
Alex, share positivity, right? Let's all, what's the word?
Be positive, exactly.
Be positive.
Support others, uplift others.
Right, support each other. Wyatt Davis having, I have the confirmation now to confirm that it's a round 3, pick 86 last year in 2021 draft. And then he was selected by the Vikings, Alex, made his way on and off the practice squad, and he was waived by the Vikings, and the Giants scoop him up here. So there you go. That's the update.
Yeah, I know Bobby Skinner doesn't like him. I saw a tweet about him. When he got released, they were like, I told you he wasn't good, so I guess Wyatt Davis is not very good.
Well, the thing is,
we trust Bobby Skinner here. We're a Bobby Skinner fan podcast.
Well, he's tweeting about him right now. Well, first he said, I told people Wyatt Davis wasn't worth a second or third round pick for the Giants because I knew we'd get him on the practice squad a year later. That's a good joke. And then he said, why Davis is strong as can be, but his game needed a complete reworking coming out of Ohio State. Love to see Bobby Johnson salvage him as a player. So there you go.
Interesting.
But yeah, right. I kind of like when we get news sort of breaking here while we're still recording here on the podcast. So I'm glad we kind of...
Don't really like it. Don't really
like
it
at all.
Yeah. No, I don't
like
it.
You like
it.
Feeling
it's
prepared
annoying.
Probably, right?
I like knowing people because usually I know most of the Giants players. So like I can talk about them even without like doing stuff beforehand. But it you know, when new players come, I do have to do like research and figure out who they are. So it is a little bit, I'm surprised you don't feel that way actually.
Yeah. Normally I am a big prepared guy, but I just like I'm scrolling on Twitter and oh, look at this. We got some news to add while we're
it's
recording.
Like exciting. It's like exciting for you. Yeah, but then like it kind of annoys me because we just did our practice squad segment like I don't know, you know, 10 minutes ago now, 15 minutes ago, and now that's not accurate. So it's like annoying, you know, like couldn't the news have come? Yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, in that sense it's frustrating, but you know, life of a podcaster, I don't know. Yeah. I was going to say something else, but
well, whatever. It is what it is. I thought we did pretty good timing wise. I mean, almost at like 35 minutes here or whatever it is. Pretty good, Alex. We ran through a lot of stuff in this episode. We hope you enjoyed listening to it.
You know what's funny? Yeah. I just wanted to make a comment now. I remember used to always, because obviously when we edit these podcasts, like, we can see the timer right now, like what it looks like right now. But like, it used to be that because we cut things out, right? Like, we, you know, there's spaces, there's gaps, there, you know, rarely now there's mistakes, but there used to be some mistakes. But like, it's annoying because Josh used to always like say, well, we're 10 minutes in now. And like, the listener would be like, it's 2 minutes in. So it was always like funny, but he stopped doing that now. So that reminded me of that. So sorry.
Well, I did it again. Yeah,
that's true.
We'll have to,
it'll probably be like 33 minutes. Oh, we'll see. Time you said
whatever.
That.
All right. Whatever. Anyway. Thank you for listening to this episode. A few things you could do to help support us so this episode doesn't go over an hour. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. If you want to find more places to listen, you can go to shipitstudios.com/thegiantake. We also have a YouTube channel where we upload daily content, and on there, and you can subscribe to it, The Giant Take YouTube channel. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at The Giant Take Pod, Instagram and Facebook, The Giant Take Podcast. Alex on Twitter at Anorian23. I'm on Twitter at Josh Solo 29. Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if I talk too fast running through all of those plugs, don't worry, you can find all of them in the podcast notes. That being said, Alex, go ahead.
Thank you everyone for listening to today's episode. We really appreciate it, and we'll see everyone next time with another Giant Take episode. Peace.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.